is impossible. Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. Because what we truly believe is what we'll act upon. Amen? What we truly believe is what we act upon. Sometimes I think we need to be reminded of what we believe. I think we need to be reminded of who He is. We need to know that He is our portion. He is our healer, our Savior, our provider. Amen? Hallelujah. See, those songs don't just work when everything's good. They work when everything's not so good. Because the same song that's true of you when things are good is the same song that's true of you even when things aren't good. Amen? Hallelujah. And sometimes, we speak to our spirit, and our spirit knows what's true of us. But sometimes we got to speak to our soul. We know David in the Psalms had to speak to his soul from time to time. Soul, hope thou in the Lord. Hallelujah. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Or why are you discomforted? Hope thou in the Lord. Hallelujah. And so sometimes he had to talk to himself. He had to encourage himself. He had to get his soul in agreement with what his spirit knew to be true. Amen? Hallelujah. Anybody ever been there? Am I here by myself today? Every now and then I got to talk to myself. They have names and diagnoses for that. That's okay. Hallelujah. They have medication for it if it gets too out of hand, but that's all right. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't forget, our conference begins here Wednesday night, September 25th, this Wednesday night at 7:30. Is it 7? Okay. Okay. 7. Don't wait till 7:30 because you will be sitting in the overflow room. There is an overflow room that isn't set up in our multi-purpose room. We do anticipate having more people than we can get in the sanctuary at one time. Therefore, there is an overflow room back there. We're hoping to have daycare available in the evenings after the worship service. Some of our teens have volunteered to take the kids downstairs and to work with them. And that will also give us more space in our sanctuary. If you have very small children, the nursery area back there will be available. And that will be parent supervision for you to have a place to take your small children back there. Unless they are of an age. I'm not sure what age the kids are going to work with. But the nursery will be available back there. And that is with parent supervision. Amen? Don't forget to bring your cakes and pies in. We have an afternoon meal that will be served every day after the morning service. Full meal with dessert. And that is open to all of our folks. Everyone who comes in, that is of no charge. And then also after the evening meals, we will have a light meal served, a lighter meal, I say. I said that to someone last year about a light meal or a snack, and they said, oh, we thought it was just a snack. We didn't know you had real food. So I have to reword that, how I say that this year. There is a meal served after the evening service, a sandwich of some kind or soup and many, many different kinds of desserts. So that's a good time to fellowship and get to know people from out of town, have a cup of coffee, have a dessert, if you are available in any way to help us during that week. It is, as you would know, all hands on deck operation. It takes people parking cars. It takes people greeting at the doors. It takes people serving in the lunch line. It takes people cleaning up. It takes people for cleanup crew, keeping toilet paper, paper towels stocked. If you come in and the toilet paper roll was empty and you don't see any sitting around, please grab some toilet paper and stock those bathrooms and make sure there's paper towels in there. And we'll appreciate that. Amen? Hallelujah. It's going to be a good time. I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 14 this morning, I believe, and begin. And I don't know where all we'll go with this. I had a lot of different things shooting off my brain, a lot of different directions I could go. Again, that's scary sometimes, but thank God for the Holy Ghost that can kind of bring things all together. Amen. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're part of my family. I'm glad you're part of my life. Amen. Thank you to everyone who was so supportive and wonderful when Dan was under the weather. He's doing great right now, and we thank God for that. Amen. And we're just believing God to handle that situation. Amen. We serve an awesome God. Hallelujah. I love praise reports. I love praise reports, and I'm believing for more. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't believe you let up till you see them. Hallelujah. So we're not going to back down. We're not going to back off today. We're going to stand still. My thought for today, or my sermon title, I guess, if it had one, is Stand Still and Move Forward. Stand still and move forward. And I want to go to Exodus chapter 14 and talk about that thought for a minute, because I don't know, sometimes before you can move forward, you need to have some time standing still. You have to pause for a moment sometimes. Sometimes you have to stop and get the mind of God. Now, I know we have the mind of Christ. The scripture says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ. Amen. And we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have the power of God. We have the comfort. The Lord spoke to me very specifically this week and said, I will not leave you comfortless. Aren't you glad for that? Sometimes you've got to be reminded, I will not leave you comfortless. Another translation of the word says, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you without a father. I will not leave you on your own. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that today? Do you truly believe that, that I will never leave you? How many know God doesn't go in and out of our lives? He's not there when you're good and gone when you're bad. He doesn't drift in and out according to your moods or the atmosphere of your home or even the condition of your heart. Amen. The scripture says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that's not moved by our circumstances? I mean, those circumstances move me sometimes. Sorry to say, sometimes circumstances move me, but I know a God that is not moved or by my circumstances. Hallelujah. He doesn't get caught off guard. He's not shocked. Amen. Nothing really catches him off guard. How many of we know an all-knowing, all-power, omnipotent God? Hallelujah. But there's sometimes when my mind or my soul, as I started out to say before, needs to stop and pause for a moment where I can get myself tuned in to what the Holy Spirit inside of me is saying. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes and all the time we need to, but we need to allow the Holy Spirit to rise up in us sometime and say, wait a minute. Hallelujah. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without comfort. I will not leave you without direction. I will not leave you. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, in a culture, in a time where people come in and out of our lives so quickly that sometimes we don't, you know, know where they've come or where they've gone from. I mean, no, it's good to know that we have a God that will never leave us. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for that. We have an all-knowing and all-loving God. But in Exodus chapter 14, this is a portion of scripture where Moses is getting to cross over the Red Sea. God has demonstrated himself in a mighty way by a mighty hand, by bringing the plagues on the Egyptians. He's leading them out with a high hand. They're coming out of bondage, out of the land of Egypt, a land that was foreign to them, a place where they did not belong, a place where they had been for way too long. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes we can reside in a place in our life and stay there way too long, and it's time sometimes to move out of that place and move on into something else. But in the transition of that and in the moving on of something else, how many know behind them was Egypt, bondage, but ahead of them was uncharted waters, unfamiliar waters. Ahead of them was a Red Sea and no path to get through it. That's probably where the phrase came from, between a rock and a hard place. How many know they were between Egypt and the Red Sea? And so they were in a place of transition. They were in a place where they were moving forward, and yet they weren't sure where to go because it was uncharted waters. It was new territory. One of the things that is very hard when you're coming out of a place of Egypt, or if it's something that maybe you've been in something, a place of bondage, you know, you can get out of Egypt, but it's harder to get Egypt out of you. You understand what I'm saying? We can transition in a place and move into another place, but it takes a little while to get Egypt out of you and out of your mind. I mean, you know, when you've been accustomed to being a slave for 400 years, it's hard to transition your mind into being a free spirit. Amen? It's hard to transition yourself sometimes and take on another mindset or take on another thought pattern. And it says, In Exodus 14:8, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. How many know going out with a high hand means a better attitude, a different path, another direction? How many know we need to exit out of some things with a high hand? And that high hand sometimes can just be uplifted hands, a hand of worship, a hand that postures itself and says, I'm going to just lift my hands in this situation and I'm going to declare God's goodness and I'm going to lift one hand without wrath and I'm going to lift one hand without doubt and I'm going out of here with a high hand and I'm moving forward. I'm not sure where I'm going, but I'm going in the right direction. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes the hardest step is the first step. Sometimes the hardest step is the first step. You ever been in the church pew and all of a sudden the worship is gone and God's dealing with your heart and he's moving on you and you feel like, I need to go up front. I need to go pray. I need to go do something. And you stand there and think, if they'll sing it one more time, I'll go. If they do that stanza one more time, I'm going. And we stand there. How many know the first step is the hardest step? But once you make the first step out, you're committed to it. And then the next foot just somehow seems to follow. And the next step comes behind that one. And the next foot just knows that we got to keep moving in that direction. And how many know God meets us every time we put one foot in front of the other and step out of that place? It's hard to step out of a place of comfort. It's hard to step out of a place of safety. It's hard to step out of a place of bondage. Amen? Hallelujah. And it may not be bondage to addictions or, you know, we think of bondage sometimes as a major, you know, addiction or something like that. But how many know our minds can be in bondage to mindsets and thoughts and patterns? It can be, sometimes your bondage may be your reflection of yourself or your image of yourself. I mean, sometimes if we could see ourselves through God's eyes, we would see such a different picture than what we see of ourselves. And sometimes we so underestimate ourselves and so underestimate the power and the gifting of God in our lives that we restrain ourselves when if we would just step out of that thing. Amen. How many know sometimes mindsets can be bondage to you? Hallelujah. A place of uncertainty. Sometimes when you're uncertain where to go, it's tempting to just stay where you are. Hallelujah. We got GPS systems these days. Makes it a little more comfortable to travel. Amen? We have the Holy Spirit inside of us that leads, guides, and directs us. How many know it makes it a little more comfortable to move on, to step out of where you are? It says they came out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, besides Pihahiroth, before Baal-zephon. It says Egyptian chariots and horses pursued after them. I remember Monty one time speaking in church, and he used the scripture, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. How many know sometimes your confidence is not in horses and it's not in chariots and it's not in Pharaoh's army? Their trust was in their vessels of war and in their attempt of what they was to accomplish. But how many know Moses said, but we'll remember the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. How many know it's hard to move somebody that has that mindset? We would have been better off to die in Egypt. We'd have been better off to be slaves or in bondage in Egypt than to die in the wilderness. Somehow in my mind, I think we'd better off to die in the wilderness than to live below what God manifested, what God intended for me, than to live in an Egyptian bondage that I was never meant to be in, than to step out and risk the wilderness. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes in our stepping out, there's risk. Sometimes there's faith stretched to the limits. Sometimes there's unforeseen territory. Sometimes the path is not visible. Anybody in here ever had to step out sometimes and say, Lord, the path's not visible. I'm not sure where to go from here. I don't know how to get from point A to point B. I am somewhere near in a transition period where I know there's greater things ahead, but what's ahead of me don't look so good, and what's behind me don't look so good. And so for right now, I'm just going to stand. Yep. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand right where I'm at, right here and right now. And so as they began to murmur and complain, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still. My Bible says, stand firm. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. That's a powerful scripture to me. Fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes when you're about to move forward, you got to stand still? You got to stand firm. Hallelujah. Before they could proceed in the direction that God had directed them, somebody had to take a stand. Somebody had to plant their feet firm and say, I'm not going back. I'm not crying retreat. I'm not going back to where we came from. I'm not sure how to get across here, but I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to plant myself. I'm going to take a stance. I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to be bold in this, and I'm just going to wait and see the salvation of the Lord. I mean, sometimes in situations, you just got to take a stand and say, God, show yourself. God, reveal yourself in this. I'm going to stand firm in my faith. I'm going to stand firm in what I know. I'm going to believe in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm going to stand right where I'm at. I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going to retreat. I may not know how to get from here to there, but I'm not going back. Hallelujah. I mean, no, sometimes you just got to take a stand in some things. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to posture yourself to say, I'm ready for whatever's next, Lord. I'm ready for wherever you're ready to take. I'm ready to move from this transition point to the next place, the next level in God. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, sometimes the unknown can be a little bit scary. Very first thing Moses says to him is, fear not. Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, just stand still and watch and see what God's about to do. Hallelujah. I'm going to prophesy that over this house this morning. Stand still and see what God's about to do. Hallelujah. Take a stand. Stand firm. Stand still. Plant your feet and just watch and see what God is about to do in the midst of this house. Hallelujah. Because see, I'm decreeing and declaring that God has always had his heart for his people. Amen. And in the situations of our lives where it seems distressing and scary and seems like we would want to retreat, I'm telling you, just plant your feet. Stand still. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't think of retreat. And just stand still and say, you're about to see what God's going to do. And when God does it, you're going to say, man, I never saw that there. But when God makes a way where there seemed to be no way, we're going to walk in and walk through what God has declared and what God has spoken over our lives. Hallelujah. Many times in my life here in the last few months, Dan and I would talk and say, honey, how's this going to happen? I said, I don't know. We're not going to do it. But God's going to do it. We're going to stand back, and we're going to stand still, and we're going to watch God do what God wants to do. Amen? And I'm learning to just take my hands back, and where I'm doing everything I can to hold on to the boat, and I'm trying to hold everything together, and he's saying, let go, and I say, I'm holding on, and he's saying, let go, and I say, I'm holding on, and he's saying, let go. You know, sometimes you got to let go. You got to release the reins to him and say, all right, God, I am not directing this ship anymore. I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to trust the Holy Ghost, and I'm just going to lean back and enjoy the ride of where you want to take me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. said, don't look back, because you will not see your destiny through a rearview mirror. Hallelujah. And he said to me, the God in your life is only as big as the God in your mouth. And that was powerful to me. He's reminded me of that several times in the last couple of weeks, because I'm speaking things that I didn't speak before. And I'm looking forward instead of backward. Because that's what God's saying in this hour. I believe we're in the same wavelength there. But I believe that's what God's saying. Don't look back. Just keep going forward.
Just keep going forward. Your destiny's not in your rear view mirror. That's good. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you just got to take a stand. And sometimes when we pause, you know, Selah means stop and think about that for a minute. Pause for a moment here and just envelop that thought. Grab a hold of that. Think about that. Think on these things. Ponder that in your heart. I mean, sometimes you just got to Selah a little bit. You just got to stop and think about it a little bit. You got to pause for a moment. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to take some time and say, Lord, speak to me. Just speak. Talk to me, Lord. Hallelujah. Some of my best times for the Lord to speak to me is in my car when there's nothing else happening. A lot of times when I get in my car, I don't turn music on. I love praise and worship music, and sometimes it will go down the road rocking it out, you know, and that's okay. But there's sometimes I need to turn all of that off, and I just need to listen. I need to clear my mind. I need to clear my channels sometimes, and I need to give God opportunity to just talk with me. Hallelujah. For you hunters in here, sometimes sitting out in the woods by the tree, whether the deer comes by or not, you can have an encounter with the Holy Ghost right there in the midst of the field or the tree stand. Amen. And God began to start saying things to you he wasn't saying to you back home. He wasn't saying to you on the job, or he wasn't saying to you while you were working, but while you've caused yourself to come aside for a moment and rest, and in a quiet time, the Holy Ghost starts to speak in. Or maybe it's on the bank by the river with the fishing pole in your hand, or in the boat, and all of a sudden, while things are silent, the Holy Ghost starts to talk to you, or the Holy Ghost starts to make itself real to you. How many know we have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, and he will speak to you. Amen. It may not be an audible voice. It may be in your thoughts. It may be in your thought patterns where you say, Lord, I need you to reveal yourself to me. And it may seem like God is silent for a little while, and then all of a sudden something hits, something clicks, or a scripture is brought to your mind. I can't tell you the value of knowing the scriptures and reading the word. The very best thing you will ever do for yourself in your Christian life is to read the word and know the word of God for yourself. If there was anything the pastors of this house, Pastor Jack and Shirley, have ever instilled in us over the year, is know God for yourself. Read the word. Know the word. Know what the word says. Because in those times when you're asking God to speak, he'll speak out of his word. He'll speak in a language you can understand, but all of a sudden a scripture will come to your mind, and God will start declaring some things and start opening some things to your mind, and you'll think, okay, I see where this is going. I see what you're showing to me, God. I see what you're declaring to me. Amen? And so I can't stress to you enough the power of just standing still for a moment. Standing still doesn't mean that you don't do anything. It doesn't mean that you're just a spiritual couch potato and I'm just going to wait on God. You know, we got a whole lot of people just waiting on God. And God's waiting on you. And we're waiting on God. And, you know, God's still waiting on. I mean, no, there's some things we enact our faith. There's some things that we are led to do. God won't do anything he's told you to do. He's waiting on you to do it. He's waiting on you to take that step of faith. He's waiting on you to move out in the areas of your life he's called you to do. But he says, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today for the Egyptians. And you can call those Egyptians whatever you want to call them this morning. Whatever you feel like has been in pursuit of you. Whatever you feel like has held you back. Whatever you feel like is a place of no return to you. Hallelujah. Whatever your struggle may be feeling like today. The Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And Moses begins to instruct the people, but God says to Moses, why are you crying to me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That goes back to what Pastor Shirley just said. The God that you serve is only as big as the God of your life is only as big as the God in your mouth. How many know sometimes you got to declare some things? You have to speak some things. He said, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground, even through the midst of the sea. Hallelujah. How many know he said, you got a rod in your hand, use it. Stretch it out. Lift it up. Hallelujah. Lift it up. How many know sometimes the very best thing you can do is lift it up. Lift up your head, lift up your heart, lift up your eyes to the heavens and trust God to make a way where there seems to be no way. A path where there seems to be no path. How many know the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea? They didn't go over it, under it. They went through it. But they went through it with a high hand and a victory. And they went through it with the victory and the salvation of God on their side. Hallelujah. Anybody in here ever had to walk through some things? Hallelujah. But God makes a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to take a stand. Sometimes you got to posture yourself. Hallelujah. When Egypt is behind you and unfamiliar waters are ahead of you, you have to find the heart of God. The same God that parted the Red Sea is the same God that we serve today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Go to Psalms 46 for me. Psalms chapter 46. I mean, when Joshua got ready to walk around the walls of Jericho, the first thing God told him was to march around the walls for 6 days, but not make a noise or a sound. I mean, they marched the first 6 days of the journey, they marched in silence. But on the seventh day, they shouted with a great shout. Maybe it took them 6 days to hear God and have the confidence to know what God was about to do. Amen? I mean, sometimes it takes more than one day for me to always know God's will or God's plan. Sometimes it takes day two, day three, day four. Hallelujah. The scripture that we'll get to in this chapter here says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes the hardest thing for us to do is just be still. Oh, I know this scripture because my grandmother Ethel used to quote this scripture. She used to sing a song. It was a little song she sang, be still and know that I am God. Hallelujah. How many of you, sometimes we just need, and that's what they used to say to you in church if you were fidgety or noisy, be still. Just be still, you know, be still. And sometimes it's hard for us to be still in situations. Amen? Hallelujah. But sometimes in our stillness and in that still small voice, see, Elijah hid out in the cleft of the rock. He said, you know, the winds came and the shaking and the earthquakes and all that, but God wasn't in all that. But he was in the still small voice. And in the still small voice, God began to speak to Elijah where he was. In the still small voice. Hallelujah. And it's great to hear the prophetic voice. It's great to hear the word of preaching or prophecy and things like that. But how many know it's great to hear God's voice speaking to you for yourself? To know that God is talking to you. Because when he talks to you, when he reveals something to you, you know it's yours. You know it's for you. You know it didn't come by anybody else's opinion or anybody else's mind. It's what God is speaking to you. And when God speaks it to you, you can hang on to it. You can take it to the bank. You can believe it. You can accept it. You can receive it because you know God spoke it to you and his word will not go again void. Hallelujah. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Where is that river? The scripture says there is a river where streams make glad the city of our God. Where is those rivers? They're in us. They're in our bellies. We just talked about that early. There is a river, and that river is inside of you. Hallelujah. He said to the woman of the well, he said, I'll give you a drink of water that you'll never thirst again, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Life-changing rivers, life-changing waters that are inside of you. Hallelujah. I was glad for the rain last night. It was very dry. Things were looking dark and dried and crunchy and crisp, and we needed rain. There's a refreshing that comes when the rain is poured out, when the rivers begin to flow. Hallelujah. It's a scary thing to me when there's no water in the river. I don't like that. I don't like it when the water tables get low. I mean, we can live with a whole lot of things, but you can't live without water. You can live with a whole lot of things in your life, but you cannot live to the element or the level you need to without the very presence and spirit of God at work and alive inside of you. Hallelujah. And sometimes we need to draw from those rivers inside of us. Say, spring up, O well, spring up. Pap used to say, deep calleth to deep. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes deep has to call to deep, and out of the very depth of your being, God begins to cry out and begins to speak, and you begin to hear the refreshing of your soul that comes from the river of life that's not necessarily out here trying to get to it, but it's inside of you. Hallelujah. And it flows out. And how many know when it begins to flow, chances are it's going to spill out on somebody else around you, because somebody else around you needs what you have. Hallelujah. And you need to draw from people around you. Hallelujah. I mean, we need to draw from people sometimes. We need to draw from the rivers of life that's inside of you. Hallelujah. As we release those, there is a river where the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. He's in the midst of you. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot with fire. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Stop and think about that for a moment. Be still and ponder that. Hallelujah. He talks about the greatness and the mighty works of God. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Then he says, but be still and know that I am God. Hallelujah. See, I think we need to preach God big. I believe we need to preach God big. And I believe sometimes we listen more to what we hear on that box in the house or on the radio or in the media or in the social, or in, we believe that stuff and we make those things big. How many know we need to preach God bigger than our circumstances? We need to preach God bigger than where you are right now. We need to preach God bigger than our government. We need to preach God bigger than our finances. We need to preach God bigger than our marital stress. We need to preach God bigger than how our kids are acting. We need to preach God bigger than our job and our finances. We need to preach God bigger than where we are. Things may look big to us at times. But the scripture says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's make him big. Magnify means to exalt, to make big our God, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me out of all of my fears. Hallelujah. That's what David began to declare. We need to magnify the Lord, not just in our praise and worship. And how many know that makes God bigger? That makes us have confidence and faith. But we need to establish the fact that we serve a great big God. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the God who's able to roll back the Red Sea, roll back the Red Sea, is able to move in our life. Somebody said, well, that wasn't such a great miracle, because there was only a very little bit of water in the Red Sea at that time of year. In that time of season, there wasn't very much water in the Red Sea. Well, that's okay with me, because there was enough to drown the whole Egyptian army in it. So either way you want to look at it, God was victorious over the enemy. Yeah. Amen? So you can slice it and dice it any way you want to do it, but either one is a miracle. But the scripture says they walked across on dry ground. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. As I said before, standing still, being still, and knowing that I'm God doesn't mean that we're lifeless. It doesn't mean that we're inactive. It doesn't mean that we're not engaged. It doesn't mean that we are tapped out or set out of what's happening. It just means drawing ourselves a time away for a time and season just where we can hear God. How many know when Peter was in the boat and Jesus was ministering to the multitude and they was constantly ministering to the multitude, and he said to the disciples, launch out into the deep. He said, go on out across to the other side. He said, and I'll meet you there. The scripture said he drew himself away for a little while to go into the mountain to pray. I mean, you know, sometimes when the demand on your life is so big and so large, sometimes you got to just withdraw yourself from the crowd a little bit to get in a place where you can hear God, where you can hear God speak. And what happens, that's the scripture then, when Jesus has drawn himself to the mountain, all of a sudden a big storm comes up and they're in the boat. And the storms are boisterous. And all of a sudden, they see somebody coming towards them, and Peter thinks it's a ghost. And Jesus says to them, calm down. It's me. Don't be afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus said, come. His response always is, come. What's holding you back? What's keeping you from stepping out of the boat? What's keeping you from making that step of faith? If you want to come, come. He said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come. Hallelujah. And so the scripture says that Peter steps out of the boat. How many know Jesus had already been in a place with the Father that he was walking above the storms? He was walking above the seas. He was walking above the waves. But Peter was not in that place. He was in the storm in the boat trying to hold on. Hallelujah. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And so he says, come. Peter steps out of the boat. And the scripture says, and he starts to walk on the water. And he said that when he sees the winds contrary and the storms, and it was boisterous, and the waves slapping, and said he began to sink. But Jesus reached down and says to him, and I think he laughed when he said it. I don't think he was rebuking him. I think he said, oh, Peter, you have little faith. You just haven't quite got the knack for it yet. You'll get it. You'll get it. I mean, a good rabbi always instructed his followers or his disciples to follow what he instructed, what he did. Hallelujah. You may not have got it this time, Peter, but you'll get this. You're going to get this. Hallelujah. I mean, there is a place where you can walk above the storm. There is a place where you don't have to be consumed. And everybody can say, that Peter, he was forever messing up. He steps out of the boat. He sinks down. But thank God somebody dared to get out of the boat. Thank God somebody said, I want to give that a try. I want to be challenged to the next level. I've never walked on water before, but I think with the power of the Master, I might just have the ability to walk on water. And I think today is the day I'm just going to give it a try. Who knows that I might not be born to walk on water? Hallelujah. He might have been the only one that stepped out of the boat, but thank God somebody gave it a shot. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you may have experienced failure in your life, but sometimes your failures are the greatest catapult to catapult you into something else. Hallelujah. I've said this before, but I think it's phenomenal. Thank God that when the plane crashed, that Orville and Wilbur Wright were in, they didn't say, man, we blew that and messed that up, so must not be born to fly. They patched the propellers, they patched the airplane, they made some adjustments, and they did it again. And it went a little bit farther, and they made some adjustments, and they went a little bit farther the next time, until now I could drive down to Dulles Airport and get on a jet and be on the other side of the world by tomorrow this time, because somebody believed when they got up that day, I think I was born to fly. I think I was destined for something greater. I think the gospel needs to go to the ends of the earth, and I may not take it, but I might create the vehicle that somebody will be able to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. I think today I was born to fly. I think today I was born to walk on water. I think today I was born to be a free man and not a slave in Egypt. I think today I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to position and posture myself, because there just might be something greater ahead of me than anything that I've ever known behind me. Hallelujah. Ephesians said, having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore. Dan and I was just discussing this scripture. He said, I can hear your dad saying that. Having done all to stand, just stand. When you've done everything else you know to do, Brother Steve, and you don't know what else to do, you just stand. We just take a stance. We position ourselves. We posture ourselves. And it's not just standing, but he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the helmet of salvation. Know that you're saved. Know that your salvation is secure in God. Gird your loins with truth. Know what's true of you. Know what's truth about you. Jesus said, I am truth. Truth will make you free. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Know that you are in right standing with God. That he who knew no sin became sin, that I could become the righteousness of God. Put on the shield of faith. Guard your heart. Don't let your heart be troubled. Hallelujah. I mean, Jesus said to his disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Just believe, boys, because in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I'd have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. One of the greatest places ever prepared for us was a place called Calvary. Hallelujah. You need to know that. And when you take your stand, you need to be equipped for that. You need to know that truth. Hallelujah. Don't let your heart be troubled. Guard your heart. Don't be faint of heart. Put on the helmet of salvation. It guards against stinking thinking. Hallelujah. Know where your help comes from. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Think on a higher level. Think on these things which are good and have virtue. And if there be anything, think on these things. Hallelujah. The sword of the Spirit. Know the word of God. Hallelujah. Know it for yourself. And know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. Hallelujah. They are mighty to pulling down strongholds. Some of the things that we fight against is not the person sitting beside you. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. It's that high thought, that high place, our mind, our mentality that becomes oppressed or depressed. Hallelujah. We got to have a higher way of thinking. Know it for yourself and have your feet shod with the gospel of peace and not war. Isaiah 52:7, how lovely on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news. Hallelujah. How lovely. To me, when I think of that scripture, I think about the Calvary rolling in. Pap used to watch those Westerns, and you know, you're down and out for the last count, and you think you're down to one bullet, and all of a sudden you hear the sound of the Calvary coming in, and the white flags are flagging. How good it is, how lovely on the mountain are the feet of them that show up pronouncing peace and declaring our God reigns. Hallelujah. If ever there was a need for the feet of the gospel, the ministry of Christ, to begin to declare a message of the gospel of peace and that our God reigns. How many know somebody wants to hear some good news today? Amen. Hallelujah. Ann Murray broke out in song and said, sure could use a little good news today. Amen. Hallelujah. Once in a while, it'd be all right if the news reported something good instead of something bad all the time. Hallelujah. How many know that's why our testimonies are so powerful? That's why our testimonies are so powerful. When God does something for us and God brings a healing in our life, it's powerful because it encourages the person beside you. Somebody needs to hear some good news today. Somebody's looking for the feet of them that are pronouncing peace and bringing news of happiness that our God reigns. Hallelujah. So we stand equipped. We stand to fight against those things that war against our mind, that cause us to lose our faith, to lose our heart, to lose strength. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus came to the house of Mary and Martha? And Martha was all cumbered about with much busyness. She was making sure all the house was in order. She was making the food that was cooked just right. She was making sure that when all the guests came, everything was acceptable. And she had everything in place that she needed to do. And she looks around and Mary's nowhere to be found. And she says, and she's disgruntled with her. She's angry with her. And she says, Lord, here she sits. Tell her to help me. And he said, Martha, Martha, breathe. Breathe. Just take a deep breath. You are cumbered about with much serving. You've got a servant's heart. But your servanthood will flow so much better if you'll find yourself postured in a place of peace where you can sit at the feet of Jesus for a moment. Because how many know if we'll take time to sit at his feet, our servanthood will flow out of that. See, I don't serve because I have to. And if you do, you'll find yourself getting weary and well-doing. But if you serve because you know that you've sat at the feet of Jesus, you know the impartation of what he's done in your life, you know the goodness of God, you want other people to experience that, and you serve out of a heart that says, you know, I want to serve people because I love God. Amen? Because I love the people. I love God and I love people, and I serve out of that. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes we all get weary. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many, you know, can say, sometimes you get a little bit weary even in well-doing. You can get overwhelmed sometimes. And it's in those times that we need to just, the song says, I need to be still and let God love me. I need to relax and let God take over. I just need to find that place of just standing still, standing firm. Because if I can just take that deep breath, if I can inhale and then exhale, hallelujah. I mean, you know, when Ezekiel was in a valley of dry bones, he said, Son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, only you know, Lord. He said, I want you to begin to prophesy to them. I want you to begin to speak the word over them. I want you to prophesy to the wind. I want you to prophesy to the very breath. I want you to prophesy the wind and the breath of the Holy Spirit to begin to flow through this valley. And as it begins to blow through this valley, out of the profession and the prophecy of your mouth, you're going to begin to see sinew come together and bone come together and life come back into situations that look like they were dry. Hallelujah. How many know our first glance, sometimes it looks deserted and dry and done. But as we begin to speak life and we begin to speak the word and we begin to allow the Spirit of God to begin to blow over those things in our area where God begins to bring restoration. Hallelujah. How many know there's some things that are dead that need to stay dead? But there are some things that appear dead that God wants to speak life into. Yes, yes. Amen. And God wants to breathe on us again. Yes. Hallelujah. And so we stand in that position knowing the God that we serve. Hallelujah. Who knows, but today might be your day where waters begin to open up for you, where the Red Sea begins to part. Hallelujah. And God begins to show new direction in your life. Hallelujah. You may just have to lift up your hand. You may have to lift a rod and say, fear not, our God will make a way. And those Egyptians who you see today, you will see no more forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just declare that to some things today, will you? Let's just declare that to some things today. God, those things which are behind us, we are leaving those things behind, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on towards those things that are ahead of us. Hallelujah. How many know we press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in God? Hallelujah. And leaving some things in the past. And God will make a way and new avenues in your life and open up paths and directions in your life that we'll be able to step into. And when the path and the door is open, we'll know that God has made that way. Amen. I say, God, reveal yourself in a way that we know the path that you have made for us. Amen? In every area of our life. Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. I just want you to stand. Can we do that? Let's just stand. Stand still. Hallelujah. Take a stand. Stand firm. Having done it all to stand, just stand. Hallelujah. Stand in the goodness of what God is doing in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, hi, everybody. You going to praise with me? Hallelujah. Let's just bow our head for a moment. Father, we just stand in your presence today. Hallelujah. Lord, we're so thankful for, Lord, because you make a way where there seems to be no way. And Lord, we are posturing ourselves today, God, in your goodness and in your mercy. Hallelujah. And Lord, we're just declaring today, God, to make avenues. Lord, to make openings. To make paths that we can walk through, God. Hallelujah. That when things seem like they are dry and dead, God, Lord, cause us to have the prophetic word in our mouth that begins to prophesy life, Lord, even when all we see is death. Hallelujah. Breathe, oh God, breathe a fresh wind across this place, God. And Lord, we declare that the Egyptians that we see today, we will see no more forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus.